Greetings, travelers!
Greetings, travelers! It is the wonderful Mark and Erica to entertain you.
Oh my goodness, what was that?
I don't know. We're recording really early. It's near the end of April. It's, what is it called? Walpurgisnacht?
Walpurgisnacht!
Yes, the convergence of witches was yesterday.
Yes. And for those of us who celebrate, we had a lot of fun playing Night on Bald Mountain, which is the animated version of Fantasia, that scene where Bela Lugosi is the DJ as a demon on the mountain. That's Walpurgisnacht. That's basically an animated of that story.
Oh, wow.
And they do, up on the mountain, they have a very big dance and festival every year. It's Halloween in that area. Our good friend Chris Kolstrom, who did the book Drawn to the Dark, she went there for Walpurgisnacht for that book when she was traveling the world.
We should put a link again to that book because it's
incredible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So shout out to all of our witchy friends out there, friends of the podcast.
Yeah, you all have fun. And then if you stayed up on Shudder, you got to watch the Joe Bob Walpurgisnacht special, which he always does. And I think this year it was Late Night with the Devil, the new movie that's pretty popular, that's an homage to our favorite Ghostwatch.
Yes. Oh, we should put a link to that. We haven't done that in a while either. But we are in still our lovely month of Alien April. So our month of Alien April would not be what it is without what we're going to talk about today. But you know what? I realized something is we actually have a little bit of very bizarre breaking news.
Breaking news?
Yeah, so we'll have to send this link for those that have not checked this out yet. But there was a man arrested for taking a severed leg from a crash site and then walking around and eating off of it.
Yeah.
So
at least not want not.
No, that's not. No, this is, I mean, this story was kind of brought to us by ihorror.com. I just love that.
Yeah, but they're great.
Was in California.
I was so surprised it wasn't Florida.
Yeah. Well, it's a train. I don't know how many trains are in Florida like that, but there was a train accident where a pedestrian was struck and killed and his legs were severed. So was he standing on the tracks? That's not a good. Don't stand on railroad tracks. That's our travel advice for the day.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah.
Anyway, there's a train accident and there's actually a video of what this guy is doing. So we'll
see. Yeah, there's actually video. It's crazy. So definitely not for the weak stomached.
No, absolutely not. So I think we should send, we'll put links in everything, but me and Bo were talking about this. Bo, our amazing producer. And we actually both decided that if we put this in one of our horror books, people would go, that would never happen. It would have to be a zombie horror book or people would never believe that that happened at all.
There was a bookstore I used to work at down in St. Pete, Books at Park Place, which is no longer at Park Place because it moved a lot. But it cost too much to change the name. It was just cheaper to move. At one point, they were in a shopping center off of Roosevelt Boulevard, and there was an old abandoned Hooters nearby in that shopping center. It's now been remodeled, and it's a different restaurant. But at the time when it was abandoned, some homeless folks were squatting there, and one of them decided that his friend was a vampire. And didn't kill him because he was a vampire, but killed him because he wanted to steal the power of vampirism. And so he ate his face after killing him. And I thought that could not possibly be real. And then there was the crime scene where they had taped it off and everything. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow. When I think of cannibals, I think Florida. But California is apparently stealing the title.
Well, this is... like, to me, and a one-up from bath salt man eating the person's face, which I remember that whole entire situation. That was That was definitely weird. What was interesting on that is we go down this tangent and not talk about what we're having an episode about. It's,
there's a reason I brought that one up too.
So. Okay, well, I'm sure you're going to segue, but what was interesting to me is when you then looked up how many other cases of people who had taken bath salts who were then eating people, like, it's terrifying how many there were. And it was like, cool, well, that's the whole thing. So we had what, a couple episodes ago, we had our grave stealing, bone stealing to make drugs. And, you know, now you're walking past an accident scene, see a leg, you know, that could be dinner. It, you could be good to go. Like, whole new way of looking at this kind of stuff, right? So let's do that. Yay. Anyway, we're going to talk about one of the things that was literally a cultural phenomenon and brought something to the forefront that was talked about, but everybody who talked about it was weirdo tinfoil hat crowd.
Yep.
And then this brought it out, which is the X-Files.
Right. The Chris Carter classic.
Yeah. I want to give a little history because there may be some travelers that don't know what the X-Files is.
That's
true. I would be shocked, but just in case you don't, it was a television drama, Chris Carter, as Mark said. It aired from September 1999 to May 2002 on Fox. And Fox was a relatively new network when all this started.
Literally brand new network.
Yeah.
And it was, the Friday night lineup was Briscoe County Jr. and then the X-Files. That was it. They only had two shows. And Briscoe County Jr. starring our good friend, Bruce Campbell.
So. Yes. And somehow I knew you'd figure out a way to bring Bruce Campbell into this. But
that had to come when we started talking about X-Files, because what happened was both these shows did solid in the ratings, but not great, because Fox wasn't on every channel. It wasn't in every network area. They were leasing out space on other independent television channels, and they were only doing a couple hours a night because they weren't going full network yet. And they both did really well, but not well enough to be guaranteed a renewal. And at the very end, they basically said, well, Briscoe costs a little too much money, so we're, because it's a period piece, it's Wild West, but fantasy, horror, and everything, and sci-fi mixed in. And then this show, X-Files, is cheaper to make, so let's just keep doing it. So, and now the rest is history. So.
Exactly. And one of the things that was really interesting, I think, about X-Files was it starred, they didn't have well-known stars. Like, this was a lower budget TV show at first. They had people that had never been heard of, which, you know, are now phenomenally known actors, which is David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson. Mm-hmm. And they played something that was a little bit different, because they played FBI agents, right? That looked into paranormal.
Yep, they were basically Men in Black.
Yeah.
Which is the premise, but they weren't.
But they weren't, because you had, which was perfect at that time, you had the True Believer, David Duchovny's character, right? And then you had Gillian Anderson, who was like, I'm kind of just assigned here. This sucks.
She was the skeptic. She was the skeptic, which was a great chemistry.
Yeah, and their chemistry was amazing. And I had friends, shout out to my friend who I know is Ripley, who wanted to be an X-Files agent, later ended up joining another government agency. So, and not doing alien activity, which is boring, but
that's what they tell you.
Yes, that's what they said. So it's probably better I don't know, right, X? But I remember when the X-Files debuted. I actually saw it the night it debuted on Fox.
Yep. I'd watched the night before was Werewolf, the series premiered, which was an amazing, basically The Fugitive, but the guy was a werewolf. And he was chasing a werewolf named Janos Skorzeny, which was the werewolf that had made him. And that was a tribute to an older 70s series called Kolchak the Night Stalker. And in that, there was a reporter, Darren McGavin, who was a guy named Carl Kolchak, who investigated the Night Strangler, who turned out to be a vampire. And the vampire's name was Janos Skorzeny. And now the reason I brought that up is because Chris Carter, who made the X-Files, the reason he made the X-Files was he wanted to update Kolchak the Night Stalker, which was a series about a reporter investigating old things. So very, very cool. It all comes around. And Fox was very heavily influenced by this one thing. And again, Werewolf didn't make it past the season either. So,
well, and that, I mean, I hate to say, kind of makes sense.
What was funny about Werewolf, the other fun thing about that I have to throw in because I have to be a nerd. Janos Skorzeny was played by Chuck Connors, who was the Rifleman, and who was also in The Prisoner and The Fugitive. And The Fugitive, they were hunting the one-armed man. And in this, they were hunting the one-eyed werewolf.
Like you do. Like you do.
Okay, back to X-Files. Sorry. We'll do a cold check deep dive another day, gang. I promise.
Yes, because Mark keeps sliding them into these episodes. But what another thing that was, I think, really interesting about X-Files was it tried to put some legitimizing to the government looking into these activities, right? It was very much set up to do that, yet keep it under wraps. And it went all over the place paranormal-wise,
mm-hmm.
right? And started, there were some pretty iconic characters that came out of the show. You know, like the Smoking Man.
There are so many layers to this show.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful premise because, like Star Trek and like so many great series, it is just a good vehicle for telling stories. And you can do crime drama, you can do Monster of the Week, you can do these deep dives into UFO folklore, or you can do folklore, you can do cryptids, you can do comedy, horror, drama. It's everything. And that's why we love it so much.
That's so true. And, you know, again, it started off with also the premise about aliens. It has the iconic music that I think...
Mark Snow's theme song is probably one of the most recognized pieces of music you could play anywhere. And people go, oh, X-Files. Even those who don't know the show would know that song.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then they made films too, so we should probably...
They were basically going to cancel the series and turn it into a movie series. It had gotten that popular, and they were convinced that it would be fine to do that. But like the Batman movie in the 1960s, they kind of... Why would people pay to go see this thing in a theater when they can just sit and watch it at home? And maybe if they'd gone to video, like instead of trying to do big budget, big movie, just do video releases of movies, it would have done better. But because it was a hit on video, it just wasn't enough to justify switching completely to film.
Well, and I think also this was a series that actually did well, but I feel like a lot of what happened on Fox, including like Briscoe County Jr. and stuff, imagine that had been a streaming show. Like, yeah. It would have done way different. We have these, it's true with, you know, one of your favorites that you introduced me to, the Minutemen?
Middleman.
Middleman. I don't know why I call Minutemen. The Middleman. Yeah. That would have done brilliant on streaming.
Oh, it was literally right at the start of streaming. I remember a couple of my friends were, because they couldn't, it was on ABC Freeform, which was Disney Family right before them, which wasn't the Disney Channel. They were trying to make it a little less kid, and they came up with this channel, and Middleman was just poorly put on a station that did not deserve it. And that's kind of what X-Files, Briscoe, all that was. They did the Fox network didn't know what they had, and then X-Files becomes their big hit by second season. So
I think had they had streaming service, it would have done a lot more different. You know what I mean?
Middleman, the only fun thing about it was a lot of my friends were watching it on Xbox because it was one of the first shows you could pay to watch on your Xbox.
See, I miss that. I miss that all. Dun, dun, dun. Well, but I think that it would have done differently had they done that, because they tried to do very much the Star Trek version of moving something from, you know, TV to movies. And it doesn't always work well.
It works great if you've been off the air for 10 years.
Yeah, that's true. And plus, David Duchovny left part of the season. Like, Gillian Anderson was through it all, but David Duchovny left for I think three seasons, right?
Well, off and on for a couple seasons. He had become the Hollywood star. And then I know they also tried a video game at one point, which was a point-and-click adventure, but it was a live-action thing. And in that, you become another agent, and you're basically looking for the disappearance of Scully and Mulder. And it was basically like a missing episode. But it brought back everybody, including Skinner. You worked with him. You even dealt with the Lone Gunman briefly, which was pretty cool. And Cigarette Smoky Man was in it, you know. And it had multiple endings. So people were like, well, how is this going to affect the series when it came out? And I'm trying to remember what seasons between, but it was between two seasons. So it was pretty big. And it did have the Black Oil and some other big things that were prominent in the X-Files mythology and stuff like that.
So now that we've talked about a little bit kind of where it started and all of that super fun stuff,
yep.
Do we want to talk about some of the lore it brought forward?
Well, it was the night, like I said, it brought in everything. So there were episodes that dealt with cryptids. One of my favorites being, there was one called Quagmire. And that one, they are basically out looking for something, a lake monster, right? They're looking for a Nessie or a Black Bay Bessie, basically. And Scully has a dog for some reason, Queequeg. Yes, R.I.P. Queequeg, for those who want to avoid animal cruelty. Sorry, Callie can never watch that episode. Because the dog disappears and everybody's convinced it's the Quag creature had eaten it. And then Mulder actually has to kill the creature. But the big point of that episode was they have a scene where they are literally stuck on a rock. And they talk about everything from philosophy to death and Moby Dick and all this and the loss of Queequeg. And then at the end, Mulder has to actually shoot the monster because it attacks them. And it's an alligator.
Wow.
The spoiler alert. Sorry, we will be spoiling a 10 to 20-year-old TV show here, gang. And that's a great ending. But then the camera pans back and we see, after they're walking away, we see the sea serpent swimming away in an early CGI thing. And that's what made this show so great, was things like that. It was, yes, there were sometimes this was easily explained, but then there were, you know, hints of a larger world. And that was the episodes that I fell in love with. But they did have the Cigarette Smoking Man, who was the Man in Black, basically. He was
truly the Man in Black, because, you know, you talk about these FBI agents, but they didn't hide who they were. They just were very careful about it, trying to explain what department, quote unquote, they worked for. Because, I love that, too, is that not everybody was just accepting that they were looking to see whether or not this thing was normal human person or ridiculous.
Oh, and that was the joke about Mulder. They called him Agent Spooky. The other FBI agents, because these were X-Files. These were files that nobody else wanted. They could not be easily investigated and easily explained. And that was the whole premise of the pilot, which is probably one of the better episodes, is that first episode. It really introduces the dynamic. It induces the weird cases, unexplained deaths right off the bat. And that's why it's still up there on most rankings as one of the better episodes, is right off the bat, they hit the ground running. So
it's true. And, you know, not that everything, as with older TV shows, there's a lot of things that may not hold up brilliantly. Yeah. But I have to say, in general, binge watching, I haven't done it in a while. And then when we talked about doing this episode, I was like, I need to re-binge X-Files.
Yeah.
I need to re-binge it. Where is it streaming, Mark? You should know that. Where should
it's
go?
On a few of the networks.
We'll put the links to the TV shows.
The one I watched it on recently was Amazon, but I think it's because I bought them a while ago when they had them on sale. Oh, it's on Hulu and it's and Amazon. Yeah, so
Hulu and Amazon.
But they are pay per episode. Doesn't look like it's streaming with just a membership anywhere. So,
oh, it looks like on Hulu it is.
But oh yeah, well, Disney owns Fox now. So there we go. So yeah. Oh, it's coming now. Middleman could be in the X-Files universe.
There you go.
Because they own it all. You gotta love mergers.
One thing we should also talk about before we go to the break here shortly is that if you go back through X-Files, and this is actually very true. I'm re-going through Criminal Minds right now because I love that show. And I'm re-binging it. The amount of stars that exist now that were in the X-Files before they were stars, like Bryan Cranston, our favorite Breaking Bad, Walter White, right? The
right.
second episode of this has Seth Green in it. Like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
There are so many people that were guest stars on this show before they were known for anything. Oh, Bo just pointed out that Scully now technically is a Disney princess. So,
oh, yeah, there we go. I do love the one thing. Scully was a forensic pathologist, which had not really been done on television, except I think Quincy was the show that did it in the 70s with Jack Klugman. And it wasn't really a sexy show. I mean, Quincy did all these things that a forensic pathologist would never do, which is go out in the field and tackle people and investigate people, all this stuff. Try watching that, going back and watching that, you'll be like, what? But she inspired a generation of women to go into forensic pathology because they showed it was cool and you could do this and you could be, you know, a badass boss and do this. And they call it the Scully effect because it increased just in all the police sciences. Women went crazy and joined it because they all wanted to date David Duchovny.
Little did they know, with some of David Duchovny's past, that could have been a possibility regardless.
Either way.
Sorry, Mr. Duchovny, I hurt your face. I find you incredibly amazing. Love you in Evolution, but pants and your penis do not seem to mix. It's fine.
Yeah.
So when we come back from our amazing break here in Momentito Por Favor, we are going to talk about some of our favorite episodes.
Yes. Right? Yes. We are definitely going to talk, and we will talk about some of the spinoffs. Because I think one of the spinoffs is superior to the X-Files.
What?
I'll have my take on that in a bit.
Okay.
Destiny Beard, the lyrical soprano who will haunt your dreams. With her alluring melodies and intricate harmonies, this dark siren of wistful song shall capture your soul and lead you into the night. Check out Destiny's new single, The Haunting Is Over, with international musicians Sam Haynes and Gary Bennett, as well as her other musical works at destinybeard.com.
Most know Florida as the land of endless sunny beaches, but the state is home to numerous eerie legends and mysterious creatures. The Everglades is home to the elusive skunk ape. In Key West lies an uncanny doll reputed to have a life of its own. Join Mark Muncy and illustrator Carrie Schultz as they uncover the history behind the state's creepiest stories and unusual locations. The Dark Side of the Sunshine State, presented in Eerie Florida, from History Press.
We are back. Let's talk. Okay, so you happened to reveal while we were at break to our lovely and amazing producer who is actually here with us and who's going to jump in with some of her favorite episodes, but you said fighting words, and luckily we're virtual because I think she would have just completely
punched you. The psychic slap come through the internet and hit me in the face when I said the words I said. Yes, I think there are some characters in this series that got their own spinoff because they're a group of hackers and truth tellers, and they're called the Lone Gunmen. They have their own newspaper that they put out for those in those. It's basically 40 in times, right? And so yeah, that's why they were close to me. It was actually one of the first mentions of Dungeons and Dragons on a mainstream television show in one of their episodes. And anyway, the Lone Gunmen became a spinoff series for a short while. And their first episode kind of mirrors the plot of 9/11. And that's why so many people thought 9/11 conspiracy theories were true, was because, oh, this show predicted it. No, the show kind of predicted a plane crashing into the two towers and that the government knew about it, but let it happen. But the series itself is hysterical. And like I like comedy in my shows. I love when the episodes are goofy. That's one of my favorite things. That's why I love Middleman so much. But X-Files, when they delve into comedy, those are some of my favorites. And so when Lone Gunman got their own spinoff show, I was all in, and I was sad it got canceled early. But the plus side is we got that wrap-up episode in X-Files, and that's what the other spinoff, Millennium, did the same thing. It was not as good, although some people love it. It's a darker spinoff. It basically focused on the horror and the end of the world with the Millennium approaching. There was a time when we all thought Y2K was going to be a thing, gang. Sorry. And for those of us who live in the Mandela universe, Y2K was a thing. And it destroyed the world. And now here we are listening to podcasts on our Pip-Boys. Millennium also got canceled very quickly and had to be wrapped up in an X-Files episode.
Did you know that Jack Black was in an episode of season 3 of the X-Files?
Yes.
One of his I've early forgotten X-Files. About that.
Yep.
Man. Okay.
He was already in Tenacious D, the band, and they were fans, and that's why they invited him on the show.
Oh my God, I love that. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about favorite episodes. See, there's an episode that I'm going to say to there's one that, it still gives me nightmares. It still gives me fucking nightmares. Like, it will never not give me nightmares. When I do rewatch the show, I cannot watch this episode. I watched it approximately one time. Because it scarred me. And I think our fellow travelers are on board with me with this, which is Home.
Oh, I was going to guess. It has to be Home.
I had to say that had to be Home. I did a haunted house at Halloween Horror Nights that was based on Home, but they couldn't get the rights. They called it Tombs of Terror, but we were the Hillbilly Rednecks.
I think with... I can unpack this for an hour.
Home, Pennsylvania.
I think that what got me most about this was how true this was, because there are, and you know, there's a gentleman who does this thing called the White Underbelly, where he does videos of people who are not usually as talked about in society. I think he does a fantastic job. He interviews a lot of people on Skid Row, like what are their stories? How did they get there? But one of the things he's done is one of the most famous inbred families that is out there. I think they're in Virginia or West Virginia or something.
West Virginia.
Okay, West Virginia. Sorry, Bo. Sorry. But what was so...
It was actually in Western Virginia.
Okay, stop. She's already virtually hit you. Do you want her to smash your
it's
face?
It's in Pennsylvania. So this is not any of that. So sorry, Pennsylvania.
That episode is, but what to me about that episode, if you watch it. So yeah. Travelers, if you want to, it's hard because it is about an inbred family. And the whole thing spawns when they find a buried baby that didn't survive, and they find, I think it's 21 genetic mutations from inbreeding on this baby. And it starts, and the thing is, the episode is not, it doesn't have added stuff to it. It just is the existence and them coming across the existence of this family.
And it's considered by many one of the most terrifying pieces of television ever aired, to the point where it was not in circulation when they started rerunning X-Files. They pulled that episode from it because it disturbed people so much.
Yeah, no, So that episode, even though I'm not going to say it's my favorite, but I will say it was the most impactful episode
that one
of all of the episodes.
There. That was going to be near my top, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Mark, since you're just being a pain in the butt, I'm going to have Bogo next.
Yeah, please.
So when you said, hey, let's do an episode on X-Files, I immediately put together a list of my top 7 episodes, and it was hard to stop there. Can we talk about the Bryan Cranston episode, Drive?
Oh, because
that is my number 6.
Yeah.
Oh, why is it your number six?
Well, I don't want to like spoil the
you
plot.
Can spoil. You can
spoil. The show is
I know. Old. So but there's basically, it's basically like there was like an infrasound kind of thing happening in Bryan Cranston's head, and he had to keep driving west, and that would make the sound stop, because when he just stood still, his head could explode. And I believe his girlfriend's head explodes early on in the episode. So David Duchovny jumps in the car with him, because there's a high speed chase going on, because I think he has to go a certain speed. And like David Duchovny is like talking to police officers and stuff while this is happening. And eventually they hit the West Coast and there's nowhere to go because ocean. So they stop the car because Scully has been working on a cure this whole time. Yeah. And she comes to come help. And Bryan Cranston's head just explodes.
Yeah. No happy endings.
No. No, I don't like happy ending episodes, but that's one of my favorites. I think it's a pretty original plot. And it was like before that kind of thing became more popular, because I feel like since then we've had a lot of like post-apocalyptic stuff where it's you have to keep doing a thing, or say speed, where you have to keep going at a certain speed. So yeah, I think it spawned a bunch of things, and it kind of put Chris Carter and Bryan Cranston together, and then they worked together on Breaking Bad.
It's very 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 fun.
Okay, Mark,
one that really stood out for me that is way up there on my list is Postmodern Prometheus, which was the only one they did in black and white.
Yeah,
so it stands out quite a bit, and it features, of course, Jerry Springer, which playing himself, and while still basically being an homage to Frankenstein, the whole damn show. And it's very, very cool. And it's funny because it's basically this single mom who's very familiar with Mulder because of the Jerry Springer show, because he's following these cases and stuff. And there's a comic book character called the Great Mutato, with this kid. It keeps having nightmares that they're being attacked by this creature, and then this creature attacks his mom, and it's similar to this thing. And it all, the town has a secret geneticist, and you know, it's what are the odds, you know, and all this. It's very cool episode, but I think the ending of that episode is probably the best ending to any episode of television. I would put it up there amongst the greats of all time. So if the whole episode was as solid as that ending, it would be the best episode ever, but worth your time, gang. And I'm not spoiling that ending, because it's great.
And Jerry Springer, for those travelers that might not know, was one of the first shock jock television hosts. He had a show that went, God, for 30 years now. I don't know.
Him and Morton Downey Jr.
Geraldo Rivera started that.
And yeah, Geraldo started it all. We talked about this in other episodes.
Yeah. That's who Jerry Springer is. Okay. Yep. So my next one, because I'm in no particular order, unlike you two lovely travelers, one of my favorites because of the guest star, Bad Blood.
Bad Blood.
That's number three on my list.
Yeah, so, that's number two on mine. So yes.
Look at me fucking up everybody's order. Yay. it's all good. Bad Blood has Luke Wilson, a very young, very adorable very young Luke Wilson. And the premise of this particular episode is Mulder and Scully are both trying to get their stories put together for the report on the monster they just faced, the monster of the week, whatever, right?
It was a vampire.
Yeah, a vampire child. Well, Mulder thinks it's a vampire child.
The episode starts perfectly with him staking a vampire. And then he pulls out the teeth, because they're fake teeth. And he's, And then it cuts to the X-Files music. That's got to be one of the greatest intros to an episode ever.
Yes. And so the whole episode, though, is them trying to get their story put together on what they believe they saw, which I love, because that's what it's like in real life. I think a lot of people don't understand that 10 people can all be in an event and see something happen. But if you ask all 10 separately what they saw, there's going to be different versions of what they saw.
The cool thing with that episode was not only was it the different, you know, what you saw, different things, but also they delve into every bit of vampire lore perfectly in that, including the whole OCD thing about counting rice and counting things and stuff like that. It's amazing. So
yeah,
incredible television. Incredible television.
Okay, so what about you, Mark, next?
Okay, well, we'll go to me next. I really love, there was another fun one. This was a more recent one. Now, a lot of people didn't like some of the more recent after it disappeared for a little while. But okay. Again, I love my comedy in my X-Files. So this was from the 2016 revival. So this is a little closer to us. And this one has one of my favorite people of all time, and that is Rhys Darby playing a character called Guy Mann, who is a cell phone salesman who is dressed suspiciously like Carl Kolchak. See, I knew there was a reason I was bringing Kolchak back.
Oh my gosh.
And he's basically there to help restore Mulder's faith in his monster investigations, right? Because at this point in the series, they'd gone all in on UFOs and all that, and they'd stopped doing Monster of the Week. This was the revival. No more Monsters of the Week episodes. But they brought it back, and he's a were-lizard. But it's the other way around. He's a lizard who accidentally gets bitten by a human and becomes human. So he's having to come to terms with being human. It's a comedy episode. It showcases Rhys Darby and a very young Kamal Nanjiani in it. He plays the animal control officer, Pasha, who may or may not be a werewolf. It's
Oh, it's my so God.
Definitely watch that one. And I think you'd love it.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Just going to say that. Okay, what about you, Bo?
So my number five is an episode called Monday. And it is a bank robbery episode. So it's very much like a normal crime, Law and Order kind of thing. Except Mulder is living the same day over and over and over again and has to stop the bank robbery or his day repeats again. And there's a lot of comedy elements in it because he has a waterbed, which comes up in another of my favorite episodes, and it keeps springing a leak. So he keeps waking up like soaking wet and then breaking his alarm clock and doing all these things. And it's very much a Mulder episode. There is Scully in it, but it's not as much. And I think all the characters in it are great. And just seeing him get more and more frustrated as the day keeps happening and he starts like approaching the day differently. Like he wakes up and he's like, ugh. And then he just like runs to go solve a thing he messed up the Monday before. I love that episode.
All right, Erica.
Okay. So another one of my favorite episodes. See, Drive was on my list too. Drive is kind of amazing. Oh, yeah. But The Ghost That Stole Christmas.
Yes. They hadn't really done holiday episodes, and then they got this one, and then they wound up doing a couple more. But this one was great. Oh, and talk about guest stars.
Yes. Ed Asner, Lily Tomlin. Right?
Which, by the time these aired in the 90s, they may not have been household names to the kids watching The X-Files, but for the dads and moms watching it, we grew up with them, you know, and it was like, oh, yeah, this is our show. You know, these we know these people. That happened a lot with X-Files. They brought back a lot of old classic actors and stuff like that for episodes.
Yeah.
But, man, what was it? They were a lover's pact, 1917 type thing. And there were ghosts still hanging around. Come on. How cool is that?
With one, it was a romance episode. The remaining one dying of suicide every Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Romantic.
Yeah. And it was for those Scully Mulder shippers, this was a big key episode because did it happen or didn't it happen? You know, this was.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Bo?
All right, so another one on my list kind of correlates with Monday because I mentioned the waterbed. And it's the episode right before it called Dreamland.
And yes, I was gonna
It's a body switching episode where Mulder and this like man in black kind of guy who like works for a government agency and is dealing with like a crashed UFO or Michael UAP. McKeon. Yeah. And so they switch bodies and the government agent is like having so much fun at David Duchovny's apartment. Yes. And like buys a waterbed, flirts with Scully a lot. Like, so that kind of helps with the shipping too, because, you know, he's in David Duchovny's body in there, you know. And while David Duchovny is having the worst time of his life living that guy's life, because he's slowly ruining it, like with the wife and the daughter, and he can't seem to like get it together to be that guy. Cause he's like, I need to get back to my body. Like, I don't understand what's happening. And so he just keeps offending people. So yeah, that's one of my favorites. That's number four on my list.
I like
that's it. A good one. I'm going to go with one, you know, like I've talked about the Lone Gunman so much. I have to talk about a Lone Gunman episode. And that is the Unusual Suspects, which was the introduction of the history of the Lone Gunman. It was how they came to meet, and they're trying to save a woman who's being chased by a man in black who happens to be Mulder. And it goes back in time. It's a, you know, it's a precursor to what these guys would become. And it also ties them in why they're so close to Mulder by the time Mulder is talking with them and working with them in the series and stuff like that. They did a ending episode with them later on, but I don't think it lives up to as much as the initial one because Mulder's not in it. So other than that, it was a good little tie-up for the series as well. Yes. But Usual Suspects, Unusual Suspects, there's a reason it's called that, and it's great. And it mentions Dungeons and Dragons for the first time on television in a long time.
I love how that you keep tying this into absolute nerd facts. I'm so glad that we're going to stop.
All of his favorite things.
Stop by all the D&D stuff when we go to Hodag, because I swear we got to get this out of your system, Mark.
It is what it is. There's a fun theory that I'm going to hit at the end of this, at the very end, and we'll come back to that. But but this was an episode that ties into that.
Well, I think we have time for each of us maybe to do one more.
One more. Yep.
One more. Okay. So I'm going to throw out my last one because I thought it was hysterical. Arcadia. Yep.
That's my number one too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this one was really funny because Mulder and Scully had to go undercover as a married couple in this little housing community to suss out to do their investigation because there were disappearances and stuff. But I felt like this episode was very like Stepford Wives.
Yeah, because, that was one of the knockoff of, yeah.
Yeah, because, and if you haven't seen Stepford Wives, you should. Even the newer one has got a pretty good cast and is not terrible. But what was so funny is I was living in Florida at the time and Disney had set up their housing communities, which they have. Again, there are people that absolutely love living in these Disney house communities, but they're very, very particular about like the color of the house. And like, I remember there was a whole controversy many years ago about somebody putting flamingos in their yard and the world ending because flamingos were put in their yard. So I thought this was really, really funny because it was so many of the points were so close to the truth of some of these housing communities. Mm-hmm. But just creepy enough. And then, of course, you had that whole having to pretend to be in love. And this was still at a point where you weren't even sure that they really, you know,
And as a hardcore, like, shipper of that relationship, this episode, like, gave me something that I was salivating for this whole show. I'm like, will they kiss? Will they be together? Like, oh.
Yeah. That was the one.
Okay. Right. What about you, Mark?
Jose Chung's From Outer Space.
Oh my God. Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek. Jesse Ventura as Men in Black as themselves, which was the joke was, I swear these Men in Black look like Alex Trebek and Jesse Ventura, which was fantastic. And Charles Nelson Reilly, again, one of those actors that of a certain generation, we all knew him. He was amazing. And then him showing up as this writer that's going to write a book about an X-File case. And again, unreliable narrator, back to Bad Blood. We hear the same stories from different people, but it really delves into the UFO mythos and all that, which now we, none of us, if you noticed, all of us talking about our favorite episodes, none of us have mentioned any of the big conspiracy episodes or the big episodes that were the mythology, the core mythology show. We're talking about these one-offs that kind of skirted this stuff.
And I mean,
this
it's hard to choose one of those because they all go together.
Intertwine. And that's the, I think that's why a lot of people don't rate those episodes as highly, because you have to watch them all.
Yeah.
It's like Musings of a Cigarette Man is one of those that you it gives you the whole story of the cigarette man done from Frohickey, one of the lone gunmen's, you know, reading a story in a magazine, figuring it all out. And we find out it was written by the cigarette man, which is cool. but Jose Chunks from Outer Space. If you really want to go down a UFO rabbit hole, this is must view viewing. And again, a Dungeons and Dragons reference in it. So I knew it.
So Mark, I feel like we only have a couple minutes left of this episode. So one is we will put some links so that you can get them off of Amazon if you want to purchase them. Yeah. I think it's worth it for binge worthy since these shows move around. But if you have a paid subscription to Hulu, they're available there. But Mark, I think you failed to mention one thing throughout this entire process, and I'm kind of shocked by it.
What did I miss?
Bureau 13.
Oh, yeah. Well, because this was Bureau 13. In the Bureau 13 role-playing game.
Yes. Oh, Mark, do tell us. You never talk about this.
Oh, no, my gosh.
I've never heard of this
I happen
before.
To have it right here.
Oh, my God.
You do one of the allies and enemies section has... In the 1990s edition, they added Scully and Mulder. And that was basically because they actually were like, hey, we protoed this. We were X-Files before X-Files was cool. This game, this role-playing game that came out and did that. But now, have you ever heard of the Tommy Westfall universe?
No.
Okay. This is one of those crazy theories, right? If you think DC Universe, Marvel Universe, Godzilla, Monsterverse, whatever, Conjuring Universe, these are big, epic, million crossovers. We're pulling random things out of that. Okay, so there was a show called Saint Elsewhere, right?
Oh, my God.
You remember the snow globe, right?
The snow globe. The end of the series is one of the worst endings of a series. X-Files, your first ending is right up there. It was one of the worst endings of a series ever, with Scully and Mulder just laying on a bed wondering if the police are coming or not.
They're cuddling, yeah, Mark.
Yeah, and wondering where her lost child is and all this. Oh, my God.
But their lost child.
Anyway, it was basically an It's All a Dream ending, because it's basically this kid's holding a snow globe with the Saint Elsewhere inside it. So when, you know, so he had invented this series of shows. A Saint Elsewhere show was this kid's dream, right? That's how they ended the series. It was stupid. But the first connection is basically Saint Elsewhere leads to Homicide: Life on the Street, because characters from Homicide linked up with Saint Elsewhere in a lot of episodes. So that means Homicide must have been made up by this kid.
Okay. Now,
one of the characters in that was played by Richard Belzer, who was this the late great Richard Belzer, the Bells, who played this detective, Detective Munch. Detective Munch shows up on an episode of The X-Files.
Oh.
As Detective Munch. So that means The X-Files must have been made up by this kid.
This kid has a very vivid imagination.
And then Munch shows up on Law & Order. Characters from Law & Order show up on The Wire. Characters from that show up on Arrested Development. Community. Seinfeld. Person of Interest. Malcolm in the Middle. Married with Children. All these shows have interconnected characters because they thought it'd be fun to throw this character on that. Then it all goes back to Tommy Westfall.
They're all in the snow globe.
They're all in the snow globe. So that means there's literally 400 plus TV shows that this kid created in his mind.
Somebody should pay him, you know, money just to think of things for them. I mean, seriously.
I still think it would have been great if they wrapped it up with the X-Files investigating the snow globe. So that would have been just something fun. I think it would have been great to see the snow globe on a shelf in some other TV show or something like that, you know.
Well, now you've given an idea out there. So if anybody steals it, please give us the IMDb credit.
Yes, yes. So anyway, gang, thank you so much for joining us on this pop culture deep dives. We love doing these. This was suggested to us by a listener question. So thank you for that. And for those who want to send us listener questions or listener tales, drop by the Eerie Travels website. That's our links in the show notes. You can join the Discord there and chat with us and chat with other fans of the show. We've had a lot of fun. We have our book club on our Patreon and other fun things like that you can join in. And all the links are there at eerietravels.com. I'm tired of saying that, so I'm just going to drop that at the end of
every. How about I also throw out our Eerie Travels shop is finally up in operation.
Finally up and running, so, yes.
Yes, I'm super excited. I hit the go button on that, so it is there. So if you want to check out our swag, please feel free.
The internet gremlins have been squashed and things are flowing now. So the spice must flow. Thank you, dude. With that, gang, happy Walpurgisnacht. And while you're enjoying your travels, tune in to some episodes of Eerie Travels, but also think back to those wonderful, intrepid people before us, the gang at X-Files, and of course, Carl Kolchak, the Night Stalker. Enjoy all those fun things. And we will see you on the other side.